Amazon Prime TV's smash superhero hit, The Boys, has been called one of the best shows ever made in Amazon Prime TV history. It is breaking records and ratings, and has been a critically acclaimed success. But the show is also one of the most blasphemous shows against the Christian faith you are going to find, as it attacks the Christian faith, it casts doubt in the Bible, it mocks the Lord Jesus Christ, and even makes references to Genesis chapter 6. When did this happen? Find out on this episode of Beginning and End. Welcome to Beginning and End with Ryan Peterson. I am your host, Ryan Peterson, author of Judgment of the Nephilim, as well as author from the site beginningandend.com. And that is a Christian blog that's dedicated to covering Bible prophecy, Bible studies, current events, things that affect the church that help us in our understanding of Scripture as we head towards the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is what this show is about, examining the supernatural aspects of the Bible, whether it be prophecy, whether it be the angelic realm, whether it be the Nephilim, and seeing how it relates to our times today. And a lot of that involves examining the satanic influence in pop culture. And today we're going to look at a TV show called The Boys on Amazon Prime TV that has been a critically acclaimed smash hit. And this show is a satanic deception. It is an attack, an assault on Christianity. And we're going to show that today. So, as we get started, I'd be remiss to mention, if I didn't mention, that this is on the DailyRenegade.com network. And, you know, we're entering an exciting era, brothers and sisters. We talk about Netflix, we talk about Hulu, we talk about Sling, and soon we're going to be talking about Daily Renegade in the same category. And why? What is Daily Renegade? It's an online platform, Christian media platform, where you have articles, you have videos. We now have 13 different shows. Josh Peck, our fearless, intrepid leader, Skywatch TV host, has really come up with an amazing concept. And I want you to know I fully support what he's doing. This is a platform where you can go on the website, you subscribe, and you have access to weekly shows, 13 different hosts. You have access to articles that deal with end time Bible prophecy, that deal with Bible study. They get into the deeper aspects of the Bible. There are things for on beauty, on healthy living, all the things that we are important to us as we live out our lives as Christian, that are important to share God's word with this world. This is what Daily Renegade is doing, and it's an exciting, exciting website, and you can be a part of it. And most importantly, it is a platform where Christians can speak freely. We can take biblical positions. We can share God's word unfiltered with no threat of censorship, no threat of demonetization, and celebrate our faith. And no oppression, essentially, right? That's really what this is about, as we found on many other social media channels that might do just that. This is where it's free of that. So why not support it? You know, it's $10 a month, which I know can be a lot for many. But it's going to be well worth it. The amount of content you are going to get is well worth it. So you can find all that information in the links to this program, but also on the screen as well at DailyRenegade.com. So with that, let's jump into today's episode, which is about The Boys. And the article you can find at beginningandend.com is the Amazon TV's The Boys, Superhero Satanic Blasphemy. I know that's a very subtle title, right? Very subtle. You know, we don't keep it subtle here. I'm from New York City. We don't keep it subtle. But what do I mean by that? Why is it a satanic blasphemy? And we're going to get into it because, you know, pop culture, our society today, there's an obsession with superhero movies, right? And whether we're talking about the Avengers movies or Batman versus Superman or Wonder Woman, superhero movies have become so big, the comic book culture among children and adults alike. And The Boys really takes advantage of that passion and that fervor to make a satirical drama. The show is really a drama. It's not a straightforward superhero show, so to speak. But upon a little bit of examination, a few episodes in, you realize that there is a sinister anti-Christian agenda to this show. And again, as I said in the intro, it mocks the Lord Jesus Christ, it casts doubt on the Bible, and it really blasphemes the name of God. So how does it do that? Let's get right to it. So let's look at the plot and the premise of the show, The Boys. So The Boys, again, is a satire. It's really a satirical drama. And I'm going to go right to the synopsis provided by the show's creator so you can hear the plot of the show from the writers themselves. The Boys is an irreverent take on what happens when superheroes, who are as popular as celebrities, as influential as politicians, and as revered as gods, abuse their superpowers rather than use them for good. It's the powerless against the super powerful as the boys embark on a heroic quest to expose the truth about the Seven and their formidable vote backing. So in the world of The Boys, superheroes are real. So this is taking place in New York City, and superheroes are real. And rather than being noble, benevolent beings, they're actually mean. They actually work for a corporation. They're all employees, the most powerful superheroes, who are called the Seven, who are clearly a spin and a riff on the Avengers. They are employees of this huge corporate conglomerate called the Vought Corporation. And they have Instagram followers. They endorse products, whether it's cereal, action figures. They do movies. And so their whole career as superheroes is built around making money. In the world of The Boys, superheroes actually don't even like people. They don't like the public. They have no interest in doing anything good. They're only saving people to boost their PR, their marketing, and make more cash. So if you've ever seen the movie Hancock with Will Smith, it came out maybe 2010, 2011, around that time. It's very similar in its premise, where Hancock was a superhero who was really just not a nice guy. He was like drunk all the time or hungover. He was very lazy. He didn't really want to help people, and the public kind of got fed up with him. And so this is very kind of a taking that concept to another level, where not only does the superhero not care, he's a corporate employee just making money off of this. And so that's the premise of the show. And the Seven, they're willing to steal, kill, they'll murder people to suit their own agenda. So they really have no morals whatsoever. And the boys on the show are actually mortal human beings. They're normal human beings who know the truth about the Seven and want to try and expose them to the public. Because, of course, the public, as the synopsis says, they're revered as gods. The public loves them. They love the Seven. But the boys are out to expose that they're truly evil. The superheroes are truly evil in the Seven. And that's the premise of the show. And where we see the blasphemy and the satanic influence in this show come in episode number 5, which is called Good for the Soul. And now, you know, there are different characters. The leader of the Seven is a character named Homelander, and he's clearly supposed to be Captain America. His cape is an American flag. He, you know, acts very proud and pompous. He loves apple pie. He's always pictured in a suburban home doing all the traditional Americana behavior. And so he stands for all those things, and he is the leader of the Seven. But there's one character on the show named Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is supposed to be the Christian superhero of the Seven. And that is a big part of what he does. And so in this episode in particular, the episode centers around an event called the Believe Expo. And now the Believe Expo is basically just a big Christian conference, like you'd see like a youth conference or for millennials, that takes place in the summertime, outdoor festival, lots of performers, things that happen across the country in America every year. And at the Believe Expo here, Ezekiel is basically the keynote speaker. And of course, all the Christians love him. But what we find out behind the scenes from the onset is that he's not a Christian. He doesn't care about the Christian faith. He's not a Christian at all. In fact, he is a practicing homosexual who gets into all sorts of perverse situations that the boys are able to catch on film to later use to blackmail him. But before it even gets to that point, he's giving a speech, he's addressing the thousands of people who love him, who adore him, thousands of Christians at this Believe Expo. And when you hear his initial talk, you see that the show is really anti-Christian. And so what does he say? We're going to go right to his dialogue when he's addressing the crowd. And so Ezekiel says to them, so Jesus says, hey, bro, bring it in. You shouldn't need proof. You should just believe because I say so, because you have faith. People who have faith, y'all, those are my peeps. And so we see right here, you know, in a very subtle way, the show's already trying to distort God's message, right? It's saying, oh, Jesus just tells Christians to believe because he said so. Christians have no proof, no evidence to back what they believe. They're just gullible fools, essentially, following Jesus because he said he was something special. But is that what really happened in the Bible? Is that what Christianity is premised on? It's premised on blind faith that God commands us and we just believe and that's it? On God's word alone? Well, let's look. Let's go to Scripture. And that's what we love to do on Beginning and End, is to go to the Bible and let the Bible speak. Let God speak. So let's go right now to the Scriptures. And we're going to go start off in John chapter 4 and look at how God establishes his word so that we can know we can trust it. Okay, so we're in John chapter 4 and we're going to verse 46 and we're going to read to 54. And the Bible says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Amazing passage, but it establishes that when did the man believe? When he received the confirmation that his son was healed. And this really goes to the purpose of the miracles that Jesus performed. Jesus performed miracles in, when we read the Gospels, to establish that he indeed was and is the Messiah. That he is the prophesied Messiah. You know, there are well over 100 prophecies of the Savior who would come all throughout the Old Testament. So in the New Testament, in the days of the first century in Judea, there was an expectation. There was a messianic expectation. You couldn't just come out and proclaim yourself the Messiah. You had to actually be affirmed by the Scriptures. And so we know that this is what Jesus was trying to do, because there are other passages that confirm this as well. And now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 9. And in Matthew 9, we'll see another example where Jesus makes it clear that what the intention was of his miracles in the, to the public. So in Matthew 9, we're just going to read from verse 1 to verse 6, we read, and he, Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their hearts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith Jesus to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. So isn't this fascinating that we see that Jesus tells this man who's sick, who can't walk, your sins are forgiven. And immediately the scribes, the religious leadership who opposed Jesus, said he's a blasphemer. Now, why did they say that? This is very important. They said it because by saying to this sick man, your sins are forgiven, Jesus was basically affirming that he is God, that he is the Messiah, because only God can forgive sins. And so, of course, these religious leaders had that very good understanding of the word of God. And so they said, if you're going to say that, you're a blasphemer, because you're claiming to be God. And of course, Jesus, who is God, in the flesh, incarnate, said to them, okay, well, what's easier, for me to tell him he's forgiven, or tell this man who can't walk because he's so sick, take up that bed and walk? And he heals him. And he says, and where the key passages is in verse 6. I know I went 7 verses. I said I was going 6, but I went 7. But in verse 6, we read, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to him, take up thy bed, arise, and go into thine house. So Jesus said publicly, so you know, so you have the proof that I do have the power to forgive sins, that I am God in the flesh, that I am the prophesied Messiah, I'm going to heal him. So clearly the meaning and the power behind the miracles, the purpose principally, was to establish that Jesus was indeed who he claimed he was. So it was not blind faith. It was not blind faith. It was informed faith that had evidence and proof to confirm the centuries of prophecies that were given, that the Messiah would come in the power of God, that he would heal the sick, that the blind would see. And we see, we can look at one more example, and we won't read the whole thing, but in Luke chapter 4, Jesus cast out a demon. We're looking at verses 33 to 37. He cast a demon out of a man. The demon knows who Jesus is. The demon says, I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they, meaning the public, were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And so again, they were amazed. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to 23, Jesus cast out a demon that had blinded and made a man blind and dumb, meaning mute. And he healed him, and the people were amazed and said, is this not the Son of David? Now, why did they say that? Why did they call him the Son of David? Because, again, it goes back to prophecy. In the Old Testament, God prophesied to King David that the Messiah would come directly from his lineage. So the Son of David became a title, a spiritual title for the Messiah, because he would be eventually a son down the line from King David. And so When the Israelites who saw Jesus perform this miracle, this exorcism in Matthew 12, when they said, is this not the Son of David? They were making the connection that, hey, his power is establishing that he's the one who was prophesied. So this is so important, because so many people today want to cast Christians as just believing. We just believe. Why? Because Jesus said so. But the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that God uses miracles, that Jesus used miracles to establish and prove that he was and is the Son of God. So the boys, of course, attacks that. And we're going to continue and show how it even gets much, 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 much worse. And so, you know, of course, as Ezekiel then, you know, kind of doubles down on this heresy by saying to the crowds, to the audience, you know, why can Homelander fly? Again, referring to the leader of the seven. And why can I do this? And I forgot to mention, so Ezekiel's power, he's essentially Plastic Man. If you are familiar with the cartoons or the comic books, Plastic Man, his body is elastic. He can stretch all his limbs. His arm can stretch 20 feet. His legs can stretch. His neck can stretch. And that's what Ezekiel's power is on the boys. And so at this point, he stretches his arm on stage and tells the crowd that we have this power because of the Lord. Why are we chosen? He says, because we were born with God's powers. We believe. So they equate themselves with Jesus. They say, why can Jesus walk on water? Why can Homelander fly? Why can I do this? So they are equating themselves with Christ, with the Savior. And again, and then saying we all have the same power. So this alone is blasphemy against God. And so it's also confusing to those who are spiritually young or not spiritually discerning, that it's planting these seeds. And when you see the reaction from the crowd, the Christian crowd on the TV show, they're roaring in applause, they're cheering them on, they're so happy. And so this, of course, is blasphemy. And what does blasphemy mean? When we hear this word, it's blasphemy, it's blasphemous. What does it mean? Well, we're going to go to the dictionary, to Webster's Dictionary. And not just any Webster's Dictionary, but Webster's 1828 Dictionary. Now, if you're familiar with my work at all, you know that I am old school. I love me some 19th century sources. And so Webster's 1828 Dictionary is a very special dictionary because it was really based around the language of the King James Bible. And there we can see the definition of blasphemy. And it's defined as an indignity offered to God by words or writing, reproachful, contemptuous, or irreverent words uttered impiously against Jehovah. Blasphemy is an injury offered to God by denying that which is due and belonging to him, or attributing to him that which is not agreeable to his nature. And so, of course, clearly, just by saying that, you know, mocking Jesus, saying he just tells you to believe, bro, saying that these superheroes are equal to him, they're already committing blasphemy against Jesus Christ. But it continues. The mockery of the Christian faith continues, because what we find is that at the Believe Expo, Ezekiel has a VIP session where the special chosen followers of Ezekiel can have a one-on-one session with him. And it's $15,000 for a ticket to go to this event. You know, again, showing that Christian leaders and pastors are just trying to extort and milk money out of their followers, and their foolish followers who just throw money at them. The show also tries to really cast light on teachings about homosexuality, which will be important later on. And they show Christians, you know, they have lots of like almost like propaganda at this Believe Expo, all over, of little signs and cartoons telling, you know, that this one here says impure thoughts fly straight, and has a picture of Homelander there. That's Homelander, the leader. And, you know, really simplifying and dumbing down what the Bible calls sin, right? Sexual sin, fornication, homosexuality. It's trying to make it very simplistic and really silly that Christians get, you know, quote unquote, caught up on these things. But where now we're going to see where the show takes their attacks on the Christian faith to another level is with the character named Starlight. And now Starlight is really one of the stars of the show, in that she's the newest member of the Seven, and she is the one hero that has good intentions. She has wanted to be a superhero all her life. She has had power since birth and truly wants to help people. She also was raised as a Christian, truly a true Christian, truly believing, truly loving God and living her life this way. But at the Believe Expo on this episode, she starts to have doubts. And it gets really pernicious once she goes to an event, a youth event. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. At this point, we're going to end the video portion on YouTube. If you want to watch the full episode of this, and trust me, there's a lot more to come. I'm talking about satanic symbolism, the Nephilim. This show gets very, very crazy, very, very fast. You can find the rest of this video if you subscribe in the members only section on dailyrenegade.com. I hope you will subscribe. But again, it's $10 a month. I strongly encourage it, not just for me, for Josh Peck, for Seth McVeigh, for Gary Wayne, for all the incredible hosts and content you will receive. You also have access to us. There's members only chat rooms. You can chat with me. There are message boards where you can have special access to all the hosts there. It's really awesome. So I encourage you to do that, and we'll continue on dailyrenegade.com.